Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. These are the words of God. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahweh your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. You shall not make for yourself. God's theology of worship is pretty clear. He is the one who makes it both for himself and for us. God is the maker of worship. It's one of the great things about coming to him in the way that he has made it. The fact that no man invented the way of worshiping by which we worship even now, by the hearing of his word preached, encourages us that there is a God, the one true and living God, because he is the one who has invented this. Just like not too many minutes ago, we came to a table and we heard the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, and that meal was delivered to us by men who received it from our God, who had become man, who was betrayed on a particular night and died for our sins on the next day. The reality of God is demonstrated at the table, and the reality of God is demonstrated in what we call now the regulative principle, but what is here just the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself. Of course, we can't actually make it. There were people in the Corinthian church who said, sure, we can go to the temples in Corinth and we can participate in the worship there, and we can even buy the meat right there in the temple before the discount stuff goes to market. We can do that because an idol isn't anything. Those things that they're worshiping to, those aren't gods. They don't actually exist. Look how great our theology is. We can do what we want. And the apostle in the middle of his letter says, that's right, an idol isn't anything, but you're not edifying others. And then a few chapters later, he says, an idol isn't anything, but a demon is something. And what they offer, they don't offer to idols. They offer to demons. Idolatry, deciding for ourselves how to worship, always degenerates toward the demonic. We even saw that in Stephen's sermon this morning. Well, Stephen's defense at his trial, which sounded a whole lot like a sermon this morning. That by worshiping according to the works of their hands, which had a tradition all the way back to the mountain, this mountain that they're sitting at the base of, and they forget very quickly the glory of God and how God chose, how God would communicate himself to them only through a voice. which when Moses comes to remind them in the second giving of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he spends a great deal of time in Deuteronomy chapter 4 saying, you saw no form, you only heard a voice. This is how God has decided to give himself to us. But they don't stop with a golden calf by which they have a feast to Yahweh who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They also have the tabernacle of Moloch. You know what they do at the tabernacle of Moloch? They heat up a metal idol so hot that when you place the Israelite baby or whoever else it is upon the arms of the heated idol, it bursts into flame and you get a miracle that the God has received this sacrifice. Israel knew that. The council to which Stephen was preaching knew that, and they were supposed to hear. We can't do everything in 68 verses in one sermon. They were supposed to hear an echo of the wicked Pharaoh who oppressed God's people by making them expose their babies so that they would not live. And is it any surprise that in a church that is several generations into the wide acceptance of deciding how we will worship God, the loss of the reality of the living God, the loss of the image of God and man, the loss of the fact that when we come to him in worship and we come in his way, we are to come with reverence, has degenerated again into the demonic. The demonic of self-indulgence in worship, first and foremost. People arguing over man-made worship old versus man-made worship new. Creating a likeness of that which is in heaven with their great arches and their stained glass windows and candles and incense and harps. Or making a likeness of that which is on earth with all of the emotionalism that would actually belong to being engaged by the living God, but without the living God. Just emotions. Emotions that can be had in the midst of silliness. Emotions that can be had in the midst of casualness. And so a church with old godless worship and new godless worship and arguing with one another, contemporary or traditional, or blended, right? The I'm of Apollos and I'm of Peter and the blended people. We're of Christ. No, you're just a man from all ages. And now, as we experienced to our horror in the past few weeks, the worship of Moloch and the religion of Moloch and the destruction of babies justified even in what are called evangelical pulpits. Truly, worshiping our way is to hate God. And it's very easy to point the finger at those pulpits where they justify abortion, or at least letting others do it. But the finger of Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6, points at us every time we want the worship to be how we like it. Do you know that you can actually hold to the regulative principle and be one of the greatest violators of the second commandment? Because you judge the songs because they were how you liked them, and you judge the preaching because that passage was opened the way you would have wanted it opened. Not by faithfulness to the text, those are two different things, but you and I both know how easily our flesh will take faithfulness to the text and mean it whatever I would have enjoyed more. Especially if what was in the text that touched the nerve on us was faithfully proclaimed and touched the nerve. God alone makes worship, because in worship, God gives himself. The people are going to say after they hear the Ten Commandments, we've had enough, Moses. You go up, you get the words from God, and you bring them back to us. And it takes a while. And Moses is gone for 40 days and 40 nights. And right at the end, they decide to have the feast. And they say, as of this Moses, we don't know what has belonged to him. He was going to give us God's words, but we don't want to wait for words of God. We are going to worship the way that we want to. They are at the mountain with the living God himself, communicating himself by the servant through whom he had decided to do so and had actually, just some 6 weeks earlier, convinced them that that was the best way. And then they decide to give up the genuine revelation of God himself in order to have God as they would have preferred him. Of course, if you're making up your own worship, you can't make up the presence of God. You can't bring God down. As the scripture says, who will ascend into heaven, as if we could bring God down to us. The only thing that you can set before yourself is that which comes from you and that which comes from the creation. And if we are the makers of worship, not only can we only engage that which we have made and not God himself, but then when we do engage and we offer ourselves, we've presented something other than God to us, and then we present ourselves to something other than God. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Now, the first way that this is always disobeyed is when we're telling us that they are helping us worship God. They are helps, they are assistances. People do this even with images of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't they? They say, oh, this will really help the children. The paper said, oh, this will really help the illiterate. Oh, yes. Your pictures are really going to overcome the fallenness of the children or the fallenness of the illiterate. Of course not. That's utter nonsense. And Heidelberg Catechism, Westminster standards, of course, agree with the scripture on this point. Because God alone makes worship, and therefore, in the worship in which God presents himself to us and we offer ourselves to him, it can only be in the way that God has said. And if we come the way we have said, we don't just come the wrong way. We always come to the wrong God. The papists sort of got something close to right when they conflated the first and second commandments. Not because they are the same commandment, but because if you break the second, you broke the first. You can call it the Lord that you are worshiping in those churches, but it is not the Lord whom you are worshiping. And you can call it the Lord whom you are worshiping when you come next door, even in the actions that he has commanded. But if we make our decisions based on what we feel is most worshipful, rather than by how God says to worship, and then applying wisdom from obedience, then it is not God whom we are worshiping, but ourselves. The apostle actually invents a word. He takes the word for the human will and the word for worship, and he smashes them together. And he talks about something called will worship. Worship is of God alone, is in which God presents himself to us, and in worship in which it is to God to whom we are to give himself. And he designs it this way. We know now, as we even heard in God's wonderful mercy to us in Acts chapter 7 today, because Jesus is the great display of God to us, isn't he? And so in all of those forms and shadows that God had given them, but especially by the word preached, which has always been the heart of his worship. But in coming through the sacrifice of bulls and goats, why? Because the blood of bulls and goats could do anything? No, but because God himself would buy the church, would purchase the church with his own blood when he became a man in Jesus Christ. And the worship is consecrated by Jesus Christ and his blood. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has fully revealed him. And so if we come in our way, we come to behold God in some other form than in Jesus. Whether it's the shadows that pointed forward, or the preaching in which Jesus addresses his church, and the singing in which Jesus sings his Father's praise in the midst of the congregation, and the praying that is offered through Jesus, the great high priest, on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus, and the sacramental meal that is the Lord's supper, in which the Lord's body and the Lord's blood are used to show forth so you proclaim the Lord's death until the Lord comes. And so worship in the Old Covenant, worship in the New Covenant that God commanded was always to make both display of himself in Jesus and to give us to be able to come to him through faith in Jesus. We look at the Old Testament divergences, leaving away, going astray in worship, like what Jeroboam, son of Nebat, has been doing in 1 Kings the last couple of chapters. And we say, don't they know that those things that God had chosen by which to worship, and that way, that place that God had chosen in which to worship, and those priests that God had chosen to lead the worship, that all of those things pointed forward to Jesus. They're coming to God without Jesus. But when you and I want to come to God with anything other than what Jesus leads from heaven, the second commandment says the same thing about New Testament worship as it said to the old. You're coming without Jesus. Without the new and living way that is his flesh. Without hearts sprinkled clean that is his blood. Without the resurrected, enthroned person who always lives to intercede and is able to save us to the uttermost. But dear Christian, don't you see the glory of the positive counterpart to this commandment? Because it says, you shall not make for yourself. And then it talks about how to worship. And then he comes and he says, if we take the contrapositive, which is true, if you come and worship God in the way that he has said, you come through Jesus. You're received in heaven. God displays himself to you in Christ. God brings you to himself through Christ. Now, hopefully, you and I have gotten over this. Why do people make such a big deal of how to worship God? And why, especially, do those Reformed people make such a big deal of how to worship God? And it's not surprising that we would have a response like that from our flesh. Every one of the commandments, disobedience to every one of them, is a hating of God, isn't it? But it's this one and the breakers of this one that God says, those who worship me in the way that they want, they hate me. They don't want the real me in the real way that I have given them to have me in Christ and to come to me through Christ. They want an idea of me or a feeling about me instead of me myself. Can you imagine, husbands, if your wife had an idea of you that she preferred to the way you are? And she had feelings for that idea of you instead of feelings for you yourself? Would you be pleased with the intensity of the froth into which she worked herself up emotionally about that false idea of you? Would you say, oh, I'm so glad you feel so strongly about that lie that you tell yourself you're married to and you don't actually have feelings for me. I just don't do it for you. It's what we do to God. If we come in the way we want to the idea of Him that we prefer, and we get ourselves all worked up about that, doesn't matter how worshipful you thought it felt. But just as worshiping in a way that no man has invented reminds us that it is the true God who has given us to worship this way, so also worshiping in this way, in His way, reminds us that He has given Himself to redeem sinners, not just holy angels, but even more, to redeem sinners. The angels who fell, He consigned to hell. But the children of Abraham by faith, He has brought us all the way home. He has united us to God the Son. And He not only displays Himself to us, but He glorifies Himself in us and brings us through Jesus. That's what I am the way and the truth and the life is actually all about. In the context, it isn't just about how to be saved. It is that. But it's about how to come all the way to God, who has displayed Himself so much in Jesus that Jesus would say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Lord grant us not only to worship in the actions that He's given, but to have hearts that desire not what we want, but what He wants, so that we'll come to Him in Jesus, through Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You for this glorious commandment. We thank You for the Reformation. For there have been times when the New Testament church strayed so far that the horrors of the worship of Israel and the idolatry and the demonicness of Israel have been reproduced in superstitions and fabrications. And oh God, have mercy on us, because even among evangelical offspring of the Reformation, the horrors are being reproduced. Forgive us, O God, because even in our remaining fleshliness, we are able to reproduce that attitude. And we know that we do. Have mercy. How we thank You that You have not only presented Yourself to us in Christ, but that He has atoned for us. And so we pray that You would enable us not only to come through Him by those actions, but by Your Spirit applying Him to us by faith, that His blood would consecrate us, that His righteousness would be the worthiness, and that Your Spirit would even produce in us His mind and His heart, so that it would be You Yourself whom we love and whom we worship. O Lord, we hear the warning that if we worship in the wrong way, that our children will be able to perceive that it's really self that is in control, and that they will have already been lost in our homes by the time they turn away from the rituals that they learned in our churches. Make us to love You as You've given Yourself to us. Make us to yield to You as the giver of all of Your good commandments. And bring unto us that covenant blessing of children who have engaged You genuinely with mom and dad in the home and in the public worship. and become another generation of those who know you in Jesus and come to you through Jesus, which we ask in his name. Amen.